Several years ago, I read a story. I'm going to start my message this morning with that story. It's about a small church in Germany. They hired a man who was not famous yet, but who soon was going to be famous, whose name would be attached to organs all over the world, Freiberg. He was just getting started in the organ business. And this little church decided to take a chance on him, and they hired him to install a pipe organ in their church. And this was one of these organs where, you know, the pipes were in the front and the pipes were in the back, and you set up in the balcony in the back at the keyboard and played the organ. And so he put it into this church, and it was one of his finest efforts, the story went, because when the church organist sat down and played the organ, it made beautiful, beautiful music. It just filled the church with the perfect sounds and perfect harmony. And pretty soon, people came from all parts of the country just to hear the organ as it played the hymns that they sang, and then for the offertory and different things. One day, an older gentleman, it wasn't a Sunday, it was a Tuesday. One day an older gentleman showed up at the church, and of course there was nobody there except for the custodian. And this old man knocked at the door, their custodian was like our custodian. When she's here by herself, she locks all the doors so nobody can get in and frighten her. And so he was the same way. He had all the doors locked. Knock came at the door. Here was this, again, older gentleman, a man that the custodian had never seen before. And the custodian opened the door and said, "Yes, sir, how can I help you?" The man said, "Well, I've come to see your organ." And the custodian of the church said, "Well, you'll have to come back on Sunday. We don't let visitors into the church during the week. I'm here by myself. I don't know you. You just have to come back on Sunday." And this older gentleman said, "Well, I'm not going to be here on Sunday. And I promise I won't do you any harm, or I won't harm the church in any way. I'd just like to see your organ." And the custodian said, "Look, you don't understand. We don't have open house. We don't let people in during the week. If you want to see the organ, you're going to have to come back on Sunday." And this older gentleman said, "But you don't understand. I'm not going to be here on Sunday. I've heard people talk all over the country about this organ, and I was just wondering if you would grant a favor to an old man and let me come into your church and look at your organ." And the custodian got to feel a little sorry for the old man, and so he said, "Oh, all right. We don't normally do this. We don't let strangers come into our church when we're not having services, but if you would like to come in and see the organ, come on in." And so he brought the older gentleman into the auditorium, and he stood right down here in front, and he looked at the massive pipes that filled the whole front of the church from wall to wall, just pipe after pipe, and he just stood there for a second and stared at those pipes that were in front of the building. And then he turned around and looked at the back, and again, from wall to wall, there were pipes all the way across the church. And then he looked up, and of course the custodian was standing right there beside him, and he looked up into the balcony, and he turned over to the custodian, and he says, "Would you mind if I went up and looked at the keyboard?" And the custodian said, "Well, we've gone this far, why not?" So he took him up the steps. It was a circular staircase that went up to the balcony, and the man looked at the keyboard for a while. Of course, the custodian was standing right there beside him, and he looked over at the custodian and said, "Would you mind if I sat down and played a couple notes?" And the custodian said, "Well, I think I've gone about as far as I can go. I mean, I let you in when I wasn't supposed to let you in, and I let you look at the organ, and I've even brought you up to the balcony. Even on Sundays, we don't let people up in the balcony. Only our organist is allowed to go up and into the balcony where the keyboard is. I mean, this was a very expensive piece of equipment, and I just can't let you sit down and play even just a few notes." And that old man got that begful look in his eye again, you know, said, please, please, just a couple of notes from the organ. And the custodian by this time said, well, I'm probably in trouble already. What difference is it going to make if he sits down and plays a couple notes on the organ? She said, go ahead. And the man fired it up, turned it on, however they did it back then. It might have been just pedals, I don't know at that point. But he sat down at the organ, and with his right hand he began to play just a couple of notes. And as the music sounded from the pipes, he got caught up in the melody, and pretty soon he had both hands on the keyboard and he was playing Handel's Messiah. And as he got to the last part of that song, you know, where when you hear it, everybody stands when it talks about the Savior, the custodian was there standing with tears streaming down his cheeks as this old man played this wonderful piece of music that reminded not only him but all of us whenever we hear it of the wonderful love that Jesus has for us. The stranger got through playing that piece on the organ, and the custodian looked at him. He said, sir, what's your name? Would you please tell me what your name is? And this old man looked back at him and said, well, my name is Handel. I wrote that piece of music. And the custodian said this out loud. He said, to think I almost turned away Handel. I almost turned the one away who wrote this marvelous piece about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I would point out to you today that too many people make a far greater mistake when they turn away somebody that's knocking at their door. Someone who's far more important than any musician. Someone who's far more important than any politician. Someone that's far more important than anybody else that might come to our door and knock. I want to go back to that verse that we read from Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, a verse that many of you know by heart, where the Bible says, where Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. I want you to notice what that verse says this morning. It says, behold, I stand. I stand. Again, this took place on the Isle of Patmos when John was there and Jesus was giving him a revelation of what was going to happen in the next few days and what was going to happen in the next few years and then what was going to happen at the end of time. And he was talking to one of the churches here, the church at Laodicea, church that was neither warm nor cold. And Jesus was talking about that church. And at the end of the council to that church, he quoted these words to John. And he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. It's me that's standing at the door. You see, I've come myself to knock on that door because it's too important. This task that I have, this message that I want to deliver, is too important just to write in the heavens. I mean, the Bible says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. But what Jesus was saying is, the message that I want to bring, the message that I have when I stand at your heart's door and knock, is too important. I mean, He could have done it. I mean, we have airplanes today that can write messages in the sky. It would be no hard task for the Son of God to write the gospel in the skies. It would be no small task for Him to put in the skies what we need to see. I mean, in this first chapter of Romans, we're reminded that when there is no spoken message, when there is no Bible, that even the heavens, as we look into the skies, declare that there is a God. But Jesus said, no, I'm not going to leave it to the heavens. I'm not going to leave it to the sun, moon, and the stars. I'm not going to leave it to a pretty sunrise or a pretty sunset to deliver the message that I have to deliver. I'm going to come myself and knock. It's too important to depend on nature. The Bible says, for the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. I mean, we can look at flowers and know that there's a God. We can look at trees and everything that grows. We can look at all the animals, the birds and the bees. and all the creation that God had made. And we can understand and we can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that it just didn't come because of a big bang. I mean, we didn't start out as little creepy things in some goo and jump our way up and become what we are. No, as we see the marvelous things that are in around us, we know that there's a God. But Jesus said, I'm not going to depend. I'm not going to depend on the heavens. I'm not going to depend on nature. The message that I have to deliver is far too important for me to depend on them. I'm going to come and I'm going to stand and I'm going to knock. It was too important to depend on angels. As you read the Old Testament and the New Testament, angels came many times, sent from God with a message to man. They were there when Daniel needed to know what the king's dream meant. They were there to tell Joseph that it was all right to take Mary. They were there to announce to Zacharias that John the Baptist, his son, was going to be born. I mean, angels came time after time to deliver messages to mankind. And God could have chosen, hey, I'm going to send angels down and they're going to deliver this message that I have to deliver. But Jesus said, no, not this one. Not this one. I'm going to come. I'm going to stand. I'm going to knock. Think of it. The Creator at the door of the created. The infinite at the door of the finite. The Almighty at the door of the frail. The All-Wise at the door of the foolish. The All-Holy at the door of the sinful. The All-Loving at the door of the selfish. The Crucified at the door of the Crucifiers. He said, I stand. I stand, the Son of God. The way, the truth, the life, the good shepherd, the Emmanuel. You go through the names of God. That's who's standing at the door. That's who's doing the knocking. The Bible says, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Too important a message to depend on angels. Too important a message to depend on nature and the skies. He had to come himself. He had to die. He had to pay the price for our sins. And now he stands at the door and he knocks and he knocks and he knocks, waiting for us to open it. That word knock doesn't mean just knock. I remember when I first started going soul winning, when we started going door to door. I was a young Christian. And Dick, I'm sure that you never did this when you went out. But I can remember going up to doors. It was late. It was probably our last call, last house we were going to go to. And Clint, I know you never did this. You guys, a lot better than I am. But I get up to this door, and it'd be dark. Didn't look like anybody was home. And I'd say to myself, I hope nobody's home. And I'd knock. Because I didn't want anybody to come to the door. I just wanted to go home. That's not how Jesus knocks. When Jesus knocks, he knocks loud. And when Jesus knocks, he knocks. And in fact, that's what this word means. It's a continuous verb. He knocks, and 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 he knocks. Because he cares if you're home. He cares if you're home. He wants you to come to the door. Through every stage of life, he knocks. Through every circumstance of life, he knocks. You see, he's come to seek and to save us. He's come to present the message of the gospel to us. And as this verse said, he stands at every heart's door and he knocks. And he'll use every opportunity and he'll use every circumstance of life to try to get our attention, to draw us to the fact that the Savior is at the door and he's knocking. Through prosperity and poverty. Through the birth of a little baby or the death of a loved one. When you are in full health or when you're going to the doctor every day of the week, it seems like some of you are today. He'll knock. And he'll use those circumstances to try to get your attention to say, hey, there's somebody at the door. There's somebody knocking that you need to go see who it is and open the door. He'll use a Sunday school lesson that a Sunday school teacher presents. He'll use a sermon that a preacher preaches. He'll use the testimony of a mom or a dad or a grandpa or a grandma. He'll use different things that happen in your life, again, just trying to get your attention, just trying to get you to realize there's somebody knocking at the door. Now, I'll tell you what, there's been other times I've gone to people's house that I really wanted to see them. And I knew they were home. In fact, I went to this family's house one time and I knocked on the door. And I saw the curtain move. Now, you know what I did then? I just stood there. They didn't come. Now, by the way, there's nobody here this morning, so you don't have to worry. You don't have to look around and see who it is. I just stood there, and they finally came. They had their bathrobe on and said, "What do you want, preacher?" That's the way Jesus knocks. He knows whether we're home or not. He knows the circumstances that are going on in our life, and he'll use all of those circumstances to get our attention. Now, we may try to ignore it, and we may have up to this point in our life ignored it. I want to tell you something. The longer you ignore it, the harder it is to open that door. The longer you just stand and let Jesus knock on the door and don't respond and don't open the door, the harder it is for you to be to open it. I said it last Sunday at the end of the service. The best time for you to get saved was last week. I'll say it again this morning. If you're here this morning and you don't know Christ as your Savior, the best time for you to get saved is today. It's going to be harder next week. And it'll be harder the week after that. And it'll be harder the 3 weeks from now, and even harder 4 weeks from now. I mean, it's like working with your hands for the first time when you're not used to it, and pretty soon you get a blister. And then that blister breaks, and you keep working with your hands, and you get a callus. I mean, when you first started working with your hands, it hurt. It got your attention. You knew you were doing something with your hands that you hadn't done before. But when those calluses come, you can do that same thing, and it doesn't hurt as much. You don't notice it as much. The same thing is true when it comes to receiving Christ. When you first hear the gospel and the Holy Spirit begins to tug at your heartstrings, there's something inside of you that says, "Hey, you ought to receive Christ. You ought to say yes to Him. You ought to open the door." But we say no. And then He comes back the second time and He knocks again, and we say no again, and it gets harder and harder and harder. Somebody asked me one time, "Well, how long is Jesus going to knock? How long will He keep coming back to my heart's door and keep knocking?" I think Jesus will knock until He knows there's no chance that you'll open the door. And then He'll quit. And then you will have committed what I think the Bible calls the unpardonable sin, where you've said no to Jesus so many times that He never comes back and knocks again. "Behold, I, Jesus, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world, stand at the door and knock." Not just a quiet knock, not just a one-time knock, but a loud, continuous knock. And He says, "If any man," that's the same thing as saying "whosoever." "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For whosoever believeth in me shall not perish, but have ever life. If any man," take that phrase out of there and put your name in it. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If Daryl Manning, if Earl Hart, if Leonard Gordon," put your name in there. Make it personal. Some of us say, "Well, that makes it too personal." That's just the way God wants it. It is personal. He's coming after you. He wants you. If any man, doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are, doesn't matter what kind of sinner you are, or if you've lived a good, clean, decent life, If any man, the invitation is open to all. Jesus doesn't go to some people and knock on their heart's door and leave other people alone. I believe he knocks on every single heart's door. Every single person has the opportunity to hear the knock, to hear the Savior at their door knocking. Every person, if any man, and the verse says, will hear his voice. When I first read that verse, I said to myself, I can remember asking my grandmother about it. I said, how come that verse say, if any man hear my knock? I mean, he's knocking. That's what they're going to hear. Why does he say, if any man hear my voice? Well, because, you see, Jesus is not satisfied just to knock. He not only knocks, he calls. He calls you by name. He wants you so much. I mean, he wants you in heaven. He wants you in the kingdom of God, that not only does he come to your door and knock, he says, hey, Brother Cliff, come open the door. Hey, Kathy, come open the door. That's what he does. That's what he does to every single one of us. He doesn't just stop at knocking. You know how it is, Jerry, when you go out and forget your keys, Mom locks the door. I tell you what, I never knew my wife slept so soundly until a few weeks ago. I went out and forgot my keys. Well, you say, why didn't you just go to work? Well, my house key's on the same ring my car key is. So I couldn't start my car. So I goes, knocks on the door. I rings the doorbell. I know, maybe they have a practice. They don't answer the door when I'm gone. I don't know. I finally had to go to the bedroom window. Debbie! I finally got her to come to the door and open the door. That's exactly what Jesus does to us. He not only comes and knocks, but he calls. Hey, Daniel, come open the door. Come open the door. If any man will hear my voice and open the door. I remember my grandmother had a picture on her living room wall. It was inspired by this verse. It was painted by a guy named Holman Hunt. It was a picture of Jesus. He was at the door and he was knocking. I read the story of that painting when I went to college because I wanted to see what the story was behind it. And the story was that when this guy painted it, he was almost done. One of his friends came up to him and he asked him, so what do you think about my picture? It comes from Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, where Jesus stands at our heart's door and knocks. And his friend looked at it and he says, well, you've left something off the door. He says, what do you mean? He says, well, you've left on the outside of the door the drawstring, the string that you pull to open the door from the outside. And the man that painted the picture said, no, I meant to leave it off. The door don't open from the outside. It only opens from the inside. You can't open this door from the outside. The only person that can open it is somebody that's inside. That's why Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door. You see, Jesus never forces his way into any person's life. He'll stand and he'll knock. And he'll call our names. Justin, come open the door. But he'll never barge in. He'll never break the door down to get in. Some people say, well, that's too simple. I mean, there's got to be more to it than just opening the door. No, that's all there is. Just opening the door. Just believing that Jesus is who he says that he is, the Son of God. Believe that he did go to the cross, like the choir sang about this morning on that old rugged cross. He died for every one of our sins. He stands at the door and knocks and says, if you'll let me in, I'll give you that eternal life. I'll give you that home in heaven. I'll give you that thing in your heart and in your soul that's missing, that relationship with God. All you got to do is open the door. You don't have to, other people say, well, in addition to, there must be something more than just opening the door. I must have to do something. I must have to clean up my life. I must have to turn over a new leaf. No, it's nothing like that. When Jesus stands at your heart door, He knows the condition that your life's in. Doesn't matter to Him. Doesn't matter what kind of sinner you are. His invitation and His knock is to every single person. All you got to do is come open the door. He's done everything else. Doesn't matter what your life has been up to that point. He wants to come in. And so He says, if any man will hear My voice and will open the door, I will come in and sup with him and he with me. That word sup, you might read and say, well, that means he's going to come in and have supper with us. It means much more than that. Much more than that. It means continued fellowship. It means rest after labor. It means a festive gathering of loved ones. Bounty. All the things, all those things are encompassed in that word, sup. You see, we're all sinners. We've all fallen short of God's glory. We all deserve His eternal punishment. But when Jesus went to Calvary, He paid the price for us. And this morning, to every single person that's here that doesn't know Christ, He's knocking at your door. Maybe He started earlier this week when somebody talked to you about the fact that you needed to get saved. Maybe it started in Sunday school as we studied the Sunday school lesson together. Maybe Jesus has been knocking at your heart's door a long, long time. How long will He knock? He'll knock until you open the door and let Him come in. Or He'll knock until there's no chance that you will. What will you do this morning? If He's still knocking, then you praise the Lord. Open the door. Let Him come in. Receive Him as your Savior as He knocks. Let's pray. Father, thank You for the wonderful, simple truth that's in Your Word. Thank You that many people in this room this morning have heard that knock and opened the door. Many, many people in this room already have received Christ as their Savior. But Father, if there's one here this morning that's never made that decision, one here this morning that's never asked Christ, never received Him, I pray this morning that while you're still knocking, that they'll hear that knock, they'll hear that call, and they'll come and open that door that only opens from the inside. And they'll let you come in. And you'll sup together. Man, woman, boy, girl, whoever it is. Maybe first time here. Maybe they've visited many, many times. You know our hearts, Father. You know every single person here that needs to make this decision. And I pray this morning as they contemplate Your knock. As they contemplate what Jesus did for them on Calvary. As they contemplate the future that awaits them if they reject Christ. I pray, Father, that they would decide this morning, open the door and let Him come in. Speak to Christians this morning. Help us to rejoice that we did open the door. Help us to rejoice that we know the answer, that Jesus is the answer. I pray, Father, that we'd be reminded of the responsibility that we have to share that good news with other people. Share that good news of what Jesus did. So that they too could be saved. So speak to Christians this morning. If there's things in our life that shouldn't be there, and you convict us of those things. Help us to to be the kind of Christian, to be the kind of ambassador that you want us to be. And so I just ask you to use the invitation. If there's folks here that need to come for baptism, maybe for church membership, you know our hearts, you know what needs to be done. And I pray, Father, that you would use this time of invitation to accomplish it. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.